recently, there have been several billboards in the New Orleans area proclaiming the message, quote, "Mobile is the original home of Mardi Gras," unquote. Certainly, those billboards have caught a lot of attention in New Orleans. One of the local TV stations did some research into that claim of Mobile, but the report was inconclusive. Does Mardi Gras historically mean the first Mardi Gras ball, or does it mean the first parade? There was some confusion over the dates as to which came first, so the claim could not be verified or falsified. However, as one citizen of New Orleans put it, it's not where Mardi Gras started, it's what you've done with Mardi Gras that counts. I couldn't agree more. After experiencing a New Orleans Mardi Gras, I don't believe people are going to be flocking to the streets of Mobile just because it might have been the first. I hope the billboard patrons don't feel they have wasted their advertising money, but I'm just saying, I think it's possible. We are bombarded with so many messages today in our world of technology, social media, the internet, radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, bus and streetcar ads, billboards, and even flashing neon signs are some of the myriads of ways that we get messages. Also, around Mardi Gras, usually there are messages that are written in the sky by planes. We are definitely not in a shortage of messages, but at times I feel we are overwhelmed by them. There are times that I have to unplug it all and just go sit by the lake or take a walk in the park and feed the ducks to have some balance in my life. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry through the eyes of Mark, Jesus has taken off at this urgent pace. Notice he goes from teaching and healing in the synagogue to healing Peter's mother-in-law in the home, to healing countless people lined up at the door of the house, to finally have some peace and quiet in the darkness in a deserted place. Jesus sneaks off to have some peace and quiet and prayer time with God, and even then they hunt him down and interrupt. The needs of the people can't wait, Jesus. They're lined up waiting for you. Peter says they're looking everywhere for you. Hop to it, Jesus. You must go to work right now. Well, moms can identify with that hectic pace that Jesus is keeping here. One mom recently stated on HGTV that the only place she can get away and have a moment to herself is in the shower, in the bathroom. Therefore, she takes long showers because it's the only peace that she gets all day. None of us can go full speed ahead all of the time. We must have balance in giving and in renewing within us, in serving others, and in resting and recharging ourselves. Jesus knew there was a lot of work to be done on the earth for the Lord. He was well aware of his mission and duty. But Jesus also knew the value of finding that special time for prayer and communing with God quietly so that he would be strengthened and empowered to more effectively do God's work in helping to meet the needs of the people. In Eugene Peterson's introduction to the Gospel of Mark in the Message, he declares that the author of Mark, quote, doesn't want us to waste a minute of these precious lives of ours ignorant of the most practical of all matters, that God is passionate to save us. the whole point of Mark's gospel, unquote. Remember that the angel told Mary and Joseph that their boy was to be named Jesus because the name itself means to save. Jesus came to save his people from their sin. This is the message that Jesus tells Peter and the others that he must keep going from town to town proclaiming. Jesus wants everyone to know the good news, that God cares, that God loves people, that God cared enough to send Jesus in the flesh to show God's salvation in action. Peter, however, would have been content to stay in Capernaum. After all, that was his home. But Jesus had commanded Peter, James, John, Andrew to follow him. And Jesus could not just stay at home, convenient as it might have been in Capernaum. As wonderful as it was, as gracious as the hospitality was for him and others, no, Jesus knew he must cast the net wide and far. Jesus wanted to share the message of God's free salvation to as many people as possible, even to the ends of the earth. People debate in the modern church whether or not we should spend money from our budgets only on missions at home or maybe not at all in other countries. This was not a debate that was up for grabs with Jesus. Jesus gave a commandment that his disciples, which means the church, should go to all nations, baptizing and teaching them all that Jesus had lived and taught. Yes, we should proclaim the gospel message in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our home country. But we also should do whatever we can to proclaim the message in Cambodia and Mexico and Puerto Rico and Russia and all over the world that we know today. Everywhere we go as disciples of Jesus, we are to take the gospel message with us and tell the story of Jesus and his love by our teaching and by our actions. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus invites everyone to come home to God. So let's look at how Jesus proclaims the message of God's salvation to the people in his day and time. He did it publicly and privately in one-on-one settings. This is such a tender story of Jesus going and lifting up Peter's mother-in-law, healing her from her fever. As far as we know, she didn't even ask Jesus to come and heal her. They told Jesus that she was sick the moment he came into the house, and he immediately went one-on-one to show her love and compassion that God had for her well-being. As soon as she recovered, she began to serve others. We receive blessings so that we can use our blessings to benefit others. We also see that Jesus proclaimed God's message publicly. He went to the synagogue in so many different towns and places and preached to the people the word of God. They said they had never heard anyone speak with such authority before. Jesus loved going to worship and using his abilities to teach people how God wants us to live. He sat down on the side of mountains to teach the thousands. He sat in the fishing boats, pushed just off the shore in order to teach the people. He also witnessed to his faith in one-on-one situations. The rich young ruler, the Samaritan woman at the well, the Pharisee Nicodemus who came to him by night, and to the masses at one time. After Jesus was resurrected, his followers met together for worship and prayer and service in homes, down by the riverside, and in all kinds of places. You see, the place was not as important as the people of God gathering together for worship, prayer, communion, and service. Today, when we think of the word church, we think of a building, we think of a place. But truly, the church are the people of God, and that is more important than the place that we worship. We, the church, are ambassadors of Christ everywhere we go. Whether we want to be or not, if we wear the name Christian, then we represent Christ to others. I wonder what message the modern church is proclaiming today. Are we proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ? Are we sending out love and teaching grace and offering salvation frequently? I think there's a lot of confusion today about the message that the church is proclaiming. We have TV church where preachers are preaching, God wants you to be rich. It's called prosperity preaching. But you know, Jesus said, you can either serve money or serve God, and the love of money is not good. Not that money is all bad, it's how we use our money. But unfortunately, many times we are tempted to worship money. We have the social media church. You can find Church of the Frogs, you can find Church of Beer, you can find a million different churches, quote, organized around things on social media. We have so many different denominations and divisions. People look at us as the church, and sometimes we're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Is our message in sync with that of Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples of the first century? I hope so, but there are many days that I doubt that is true. However, the good news is we can always be called back to the focus of Jesus Christ as the center of the church. Jesus felt that it was urgent that he continue to reach out to new people with the love and grace of God. It's imperative that we keep reaching beyond our church walls. Just as in Jesus' day and time, there are many, many people in need of healing from God. There's so many people who don't know that God is a forgiving God, a loving God, a merciful God, that they can have a resurrected life and a new beginning in Christ. We are the bearers of the message today. We cannot control the messages that other Christians may send out into the universe. We can only choose what message from God that we will proclaim under the banner of Jesus Christ. So, church, today, let us focus on God's amazing grace. Let us shout and live agape love. Let us show the world that we are truly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we too offer a healing hand to lift up somebody in the name of Jesus today. We praise God from whom all blessings flow, and may we use the blessings that we have received to bless someone else. Amen.